Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to Metanorn's Mini Talk on Space Dandy for Episode 8, The Lonely Pooch Planet, Baby. I'm Jero, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up?
And Overcool.
Hi, everyone.
And this episode, I think, unlike most others in the series so far, kind of felt like two episodes in one. There were the obvious links in the episode with the Machinian stuff and with Jell and his assistant laying down those sick beats that we'll talk about in a little bit. But we start off in the deserted planet. Starts off with QT getting all excited about scrap metal and stuff, and he's collecting all of that, having a grand old time. And Meow finds a familiar-looking fridge. And I'll link this Tumblr post that you can see it in. It comes from episode 11 of Cowboy Bebop, Toys in the Attic. And it shows a scene in that episode where Spike is... There's a fridge in there, and it's all ugly and stuff in the inside. He kicks it into outer space, and what do you know... Several years later in Space Dandy, there it is.
Yep.
Wow, I did not catch that.
Yeah, because when Meow opens it, all this blue stuff comes out, and that's what was in the fridge when Spike kicked it out. It was like some alien life form they created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Wulong thing had already led us to believe that they're in the same universe, but I think this right here, you know, it's pretty much official at this point.
Oh, yes. I'm looking like, oh my god, is he going to run into Spike there, or randomly, like, walk past him or something? Mm-hmm. I'm hoping. So I got to keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, I'm ready for any reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even the dog that we mentioned a little bit here soon, they scanned, it was kind of, they showed a picture of Iron a little bit. Kind of same breed, almost. I was like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that dog is a like a husky that Dandy becomes fond of, tries to get the dog to come over. It's not really budging. Then he cries, and then the dog comes over, and, you know, they're all friends now and playing fetch and stuff, and he names it Precious Upside Down Coconut Pie. The acronym is PUP there. And then the dog dies. And sad.
It was... so sudden and so manipulative to just have to. Anytime an animal dies, it's depressing, but it got me. I was so sad when, I guess we'll just call it Wenko-chan died.
Yeah, it in a similar sense to episode 5, though not on the same level, it did have that sort of emotional engagement. That we hadn't seen since episode 5 with the attachment that could be formed to Pup and that Dandy officially declared her a member of the Aloha OA, and then his building of a rocket even though he didn't know how to build rockets, and then the narrator adding a nice touch there with catching a case of the feels.
Yeah, and even like giving the dog a voice kind of makes you more attached to it too. I mean, you can feel that it was lonely. It was like needing someone to play with, and one last chance. Kind of like Meow, you know, gets a little upset too that he didn't get to play with her. And like you say, even the narrator, he even hear like a little like he gets choked up a little bit when he's like talking about it. I'm like, that was pretty sad for that. I'm like, damn. Like OC said, out of nowhere.
Yeah, she said I had a nice hat.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's so great. Cheesy when you think about it. It's like a dog they met for all of 2 minutes and it dies and everyone says the most dramatic thing about its death. But, oh, it got me.
Yeah,
it did. It was.
And then stuck inside the dog's hair were these two Machinian guys who, when Meow was crying over her after her death, they jumped from her body to his body and... much like fleas, they were, you know, making them itch and stuff, and then they were jumping out. And by the way, some man service there with Dandy in the shower.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in the second half of the episode, he was basically in a towel, just trying to keep it on. And it ends up that QT gets taken over by one of them, turns green and goes nuts on those two guys and Aloha Oe. And they eventually get the Machinian guy out and they stomp on him, which means, for some reason, that destroys an entire planet. Sounds kind of familiar a bit to the Vestian and Undies guys in a different way. Which causes a black hole. They warp after realizing, oh wait, we can warp. I thought we couldn't warp.
Oh, the line QT says, he's just like, I didn't say we couldn't. He's just like, Danny's like, I thought we couldn't do that. Yeah.
I was thinking that too the whole time. Like, why don't they just warp? Why don't they just warp? What are they doing? And finally QT said it.
Yeah. And then as they warp, we see Jail come in and the sick beats that I mentioned at the top of the podcast. Tried those out. No payoff there. No payoff at all, really, for those. It seemed like some dumb kind of tacked on thing just to give that assistant guy something to do. But they were worried that they were going to kill somebody when he first set him off. And shooting missiles into a black hole, what's the point?
I couldn't stop laughing when I'd seen that scene. It's like, because he's chasing Dandy, and he gets there, and he's like, they can make black holes now? Like, he thinks Dandy set a trap for him. Powerful. Like, he did not set a trap for you. He's stupid. And then the beginning, like you said, he was their boss is just like, you guys didn't do a claim on this. So I guess like some insurance thing. I was like, wow. And he's like, in this economy, you can't do that. I'm like, wow, this is funny.
And Jail's personality was kind of different in the early part of the episode. He seemed more, a little bit more scared and a little bit more submissive toward the Captain Inferno guy, whose name I feel like I should know, but I do not right now.
Me neither.
Yeah, I'm just like Inferno Cop.
There were some pretty good quotes from Dandy in this episode, a couple of them, at least from the English version. The ladies will be all over me like a fart in a spacesuit.
Yeah, I guess it's like you can't escape it if you're in a spacesuit. So.
And a good ass should be felt, not seen.
That one's pretty good.
Wise words of wisdom.
The one he says in the beginning towards the dog, it was like, oh my god, I can't believe they said this. It was like, I'd say, people say what they want to say about me, but I can smell a bitch from a mile away or something like that. Something on those lines. I was like, wow, I can't believe you said that. Like, Andy. Mm-hmm. I know he's talking to a dog, so it's like, I mean, still, go on.
Yeah.
You could have done something else.
Some pretty clever lines in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, what'd you think about this episode? Because I mentioned kind of two halves.
Oh, sorry. Like what you said, it really did feel a bit like two halves. And the first half was the more touching half, and I really enjoyed it because it somehow managed to make me feel bad for this dog we just met and attached that nice little actual story about a dog going into space for, I don't know, added legitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, the second half as a result of that felt a little bit rushed, I would say. They kind of, the fleas, as soon as they were introduced, they just caused havoc, and then as soon as they arrived, they kind of got squished.
Mm-hmm.
So, second half was a little fast, but overall, pretty good episode, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't agree. First half, more of the feels and everything, and second half's kind of, just real fast. I did think it was funny when Danny killed the first flea guy through his hair with the hair gel and the brush. I was oh my god, he killed that guy.
So, judging just from your thoughts on this episode and how we talked about our interest in episode 5, we can almost in an odd way say that Space Dandy does better with the feels than with the funny. Sounds kind of odd.
As of late, I mean, because I think because we've experienced so many comedy episodes with him, so it's kind of like we know that side. I think we're always looking for the other side.
Yeah, I wonder if this would have been a more interesting formula to go with, not necessarily feels and comedy stuff. I feel feels weird calling it feels, or just call it drama, J-Ro. but if they did more half and half stuff, which I think a lot of series do, some go even deeper than that, like Seitokai Yakuin Domo, which is all a bunch of sketchy stuff.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I thought a decent episode. The first half I thought was interesting. The Cowboy Bebop thing was really interesting to me, and that's something that I'll want to keep my eyes open for, is that, you know, I don't think there will ever be a run-in, but it'll just be like, here's a lot of places that, you know, the Spike Spiegel and Jet Black and those guys have been, and, you know, other things left behind.
Yeah, I've even felt like episode 5 when Danny's like kind of on an Earth-like planet driving a car around. Like, we've seen that in Bebop a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The certain planets they've been on that they do drive cars. It's not all spaceships.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, like you said, yeah, there are probably hints where they've been. Like you said, I don't expect them to ever have a sit down conversation with Spike or anything like that. I do expect maybe to pass each other like walking by and not realize, you know, the fans not realizing, oh, that's Spike's, you know, that's his shoe he wears, and to see like lower half, and that's all you see.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind of funny.
Have to keep our eyes peeled for that.
Right.
And that has been our mini talk for episode 8. So for Fosh, for Overcooled, I'm Jero. We will see you next week, baby.